young lady here this morning that came to us last week. And, well, this is not the song then. They changed it already. But anyway, we'll sing it after we sing this one. But she said that the song that she requested helped her through many, many days of hard things. And we just wanted to sing that for her, but we'll be the second one. But this first one is my song. And they want me to do it first if I possibly can. But y'all really pray for me this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. absolutely breaks my heart. But I've been singing for 60 plus years for the Lord. And I counted that a privilege and a blessing. And he's given me many blessings. But I'm sad to say this morning that this will be the last time. My health has gone down. And I hope that I can stand before the Lord and he'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Because I've sung a lot of places and with a lot of people the last 13 years. Some playing for us, and our pastor and Michael. But that just breaks my heart this morning because I can't go on any further. But I just want to tell you, I love every one of you, and I hope my singing has been a blessing to you. And that's about all I can say. But I thank the Lord every day for the strength he's given me. I'll be 86 in a couple of weeks. And God's given me a voice, and I've tried my best to use it for him. And if I haven't done what I should do, then he lets me know. But I appreciate everybody and love everybody.
People say, "Well, Brother Jeff, we already know about the nine fruit of the Spirit. Why are we still going over this?" Well, hopefully we're going to have you examine yourself and maybe really take time to examine these nine fruit. Because many times we take things for the Bible that we hear over and over again, redundantly, we just hear it and we don't apply them to our lives. So I hope I bring out some truths today and tonight about the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, and maybe you'll apply those to your life. Appreciate that. Thank you, brother. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning, God. I thank you for everyone that's here in attendance. I pray that they might just be attentive for the next 20 to 25 minutes, Lord, and that we really focus in on the fruit of the Spirit this morning and tonight. And that's a very, very needed subject when it relates to the Holy Spirit of God. And Father, if there's anyone here that maybe as they examine themselves, they don't see these fruit, that they realize they need you as their Savior. Because the only way they're going to acquire these fruit or by having the Holy Spirit of God. Yes. Help me to say nothing in the flesh, but everything in the Spirit. Bind the hands of demonic forces this morning. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ on this service. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Again, we're going to go through the fruit of the Spirit. Now, Sunday night, we talked briefly about the first one, which is love. And we saw in 1 Corinthians 13, where the Bible says, and Paul says, if you don't have charity, which is love in action, then you have nothing. And let me tell you something, if you've got all eight of the other fruit and you don't have the first one, you might as well hang it up. Right? Because that's why it's listed first. Love is first, is because all the other fruit relies on the first one, Brother David, and that is love. So let's move to the second one this morning, and the Holy Spirit produces joy. After love, you'll have joy. 1 Peter 1:6 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You know, the Bible says very clearly that if you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you, which if you're saved, you do, you get the Holy Spirit of God the moment that you're born again, you're baptized into the body of Christ, and you receive the Holy Spirit. Don't let anybody try to steal the Holy Spirit of God from you. You have Him if you're born again. Amen. But we see that you're going to have joy, and even in tribulation and in trials and in death and in sickness and in financial problems, you can have joy if you have the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. You can. But many people during trials, they grasp for the wrong things. Instead of turning to the Holy Spirit of God, they turn to money, they turn to possessions, they turn to fame, they turn to drugs, they turn to alcohol, they turn to painkillers, instead of turning to the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom ye having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, ye believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Listen, folks, the Holy Spirit of God gives you joy that the world cannot. Amen. The world will give you temporary joy. You may go to a concert and have joy all through the concert, but after the concert, the high wears off, doesn't it? The alcohol gives you temporary joy. The drugs give you temporary joy. But when they're taken away, or when you come down, it's a temporary joy. The Holy Spirit of God will give you an eternal joy. David said in Psalm 51:12, it says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Listen, folks, the joy that many people have is focused on the things of the world. I talked to a man yesterday about his salvation, and he was doubting, and I was talking to him about it, and he said, I just don't have my joy. Listen, folks, but if you've lost your joy, that does not mean you've lost your salvation. There's many things that will cause you to lose your joy. If you don't come to church, if you don't read your Bible, if you don't pray, if there's sin in your life, it will cause you not to have joy. Amen? And that's when we need to make things right. With the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Habakkuk 3:18 says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Yes. Think about that. When your world's falling apart, when it seems like you can't go on, think about where you would be without the Lord. Right. And I'm not talking about just in this physical life. I'm talking about what if you never accepted the Lord as your Savior, where would you be when you die? Listen, folks, when we compare the trials and tribulations of this life to an eternity in hell, it makes it look a lot better, doesn't it? Yeah. Amen. A lot better. Listen, Job 25 says that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. Listen, folks, don't look at other people who seem to be doing better than you and happier than you. Don't look at them and go, why, Lord, are they doing so much better? Why are they happier than me? Why does their life seem to be all polished and all in order? And Lord, I'm serving you, I'm doing what you said to do, and my life is at the bottom. Yeah. Listen, folks, you can't compare your life to other people. Because the Bible says that
The wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. Their time's coming. Their time's coming, amen. And you've got to understand that, amen. Psalm 16:11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He says, at the right hand are pleasures. The joy's there. Who's at the right hand of the Father? Jesus.
Amen.
Maybe the reason you've lost your joy is because you've drifted from the right hand of the Father.
Yeah.
You're not close to the Lord like you used to be. And if you're not, you're not going to have the joy that God wants you to have. Amen. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. When this world has you at a lifetime low, try to focus on what lies ahead. Joy comes in the morning. Listen, folks, I know it's hard. When you get to that point, you just say, I can't go on, Lord. I can't understand that this life is temporal. It's like a vapor that appears for a short time, then vanishes away. Understand there's not much time left till you're reunited with your loved ones. Amen.
Yeah.
Not much time left at all. Psalm 43:4 says, Then will I go unto the altar of God, and to God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Now, I understand that's an Old Testament verse, but listen, we can spiritualize that. And they're talking about the altar in the temple there. That's what they're talking about. But listen, how long has it been since you've been to an old-fashioned altar?
Yeah.
You say, I've lost my joy, Brother Jeff. I'm not as happy as I used to be. I don't feel as close to God. When's the last time you humbled yourself and come to an altar?
Amen.
Listen, I've seen people for years upon years upon years and never seen them in the altar at church. Now listen, folks, I'm not beating you up, but that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
You need to be willing to humble yourself every now and then when the Holy Spirit deals with you and come down the altar, not worry about what anybody thinks, and just come down and do business with the Lord. Amen. Psalm 51:8 says, Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You know, sometimes we have to be broken in order to get our joy back. Many times we're so enamored with the world and we're so tied up in the world, many times God has to bring us down to our lowest point, break us, so we can turn back to Him and get our joy back. Sometimes that has to happen. Proverbs 21:15 says, It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. You know, you could be missing your joy because you're in iniquity. Listen, folks, many Christians don't have their joy because they're trying to live part in the world and part in the church. And that's why you're not happy. You're torn between one and torn between the other.
Right.
Listen, folks, you can't sit there and say that you love the Lord and that, I want to serve God and, hey, everything's great, and then live in the world.
Amen.
You can't do it, folks. Can't do it, amen. Isaiah 12:3 says, Therefore with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. You say, Brother Jeff, I don't have my joy. Well, listen, are you drawing water and giving it to others?
Yeah.
Listen, many people have lost their joy because they've lost their compassion for lost sinners.
Right.
They've lost their desire to see lost people saved. They don't care if they give out a tract. They don't care if they witness to anybody. They just go about their life and don't care whether anybody goes to hell or not. That will cause you to lose your joy. Amen. Isaiah 65:14 says, Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart and shall howl for vexation of spirit. Ecclesiastes 6:9 says, Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire, than is also vanity and vexation of spirit. Listen, not being settled will cost you your joy.
Yes.
Not being settled. Listen, folks, I encounter people all the time, and they're not settled in the Bible. Listen, folks, you need to be settled in the doctrine. Don't go off of feeling. Don't go off of experience. Don't go off of this happened to me. Well, I saw it. Why, no, because I saw it. Listen, folks, I've been to magic shows, to illusions. And just because I saw it don't mean that lady was really cut in half, does it? Right? Listen, just because you see something doesn't mean that it's right. I heard a wise man say, don't believe anything you hear and only believe half of what you see. Right? And if we live by that, it would be great. But listen, there are people that come to me, they come to this church, and they're unstable. They run to this denomination, they run to that denomination, and back and forth, hop from church to church. They'll come from here a couple months, then go over there for a couple months, and over here. Listen, folks, you're never going to have joy if you keep that up. You've got to get established in the Word of God and do what the Word of God says, or you're never going to have joy. You're never going to be happy. Now listen, the Holy Spirit produces peace. Let me give you some facts real quick. Do you know since 3600 B.C., now get this, there's only been 292 years of peace. Since 3600 B.C., every year there's only been 292 years where there wasn't war going on. Out of all those, there have been 14,351 wars and 3.64 billion people killed in those wars. Yeah. Right? 8,000 peace treaties have been made and broken. Yeah. Why can't we learn from history, Brother Nate? Brother Lenny, why can't we? We keep going over there and making all these peace treaties with these Palestinians who want Israel wiped off the face of the map, who say death to America, that want us dead, and we keep giving them all this stuff trying to pacify them. Peace treaties don't work. Why? Because the Prince of Peace isn't here yet. He's not ruling yet. Amen? He needs to be ruling, and that's going to happen during the millennial reign. By the way, the Antichrist in Daniel 9:27, it says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate." The Antichrist is going to come in, and he's going to make the ultimate peace treaty for the whole world. Yeah. And then he's going to break it. Yeah. No figure, right? But people are so stupid that they're going to keep saying, peace treaty, peace treaty, peace treaty. It'll work. It doesn't work, folks. Amen. Amen. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Listen, peace is not being in a place where there are no storms. That's not what peace is. Peace is being in the midst of the storm and still remaining calm in your heart. Do you get that? Peace is not everything's great around me. That's not what peace is. When you talk about the peace of God, it doesn't mean your finances are always great. Your marriage is always great, right? Everything's great in your life. That's not what it means. It means that during all the turmoil that's around you, you still have calm within you. That's what peace is, amen. That's what peace is. That word worry means to choke. Means to choke. And listen, when you worry, you choke God's ability to work in your life. Amen? Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Here's the question. Where's your mind? Yeah. Listen, many people focus on this and focus on that when trouble comes. Why not focus on the Lord? Amen. Focus on him and see where that takes you. Amen? Philippians 1:2. It says, and you can find this in many places, this formula. It says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God." Over and over, if you go through the New Testament, see Paul's writing, he says, grace first and then peace. Grace, peace. Grace, peace. And you cannot have true peace with God until grace has been applied. Many people search for peace, but they don't have the grace of God. Listen, if you're not saved, you're not going to have peace. That's all there is to it. Amen. Psalm 85:8 says, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly." Notice who God speaks peace to his people and to his saints. Listen, if you're not saved here today, the reason you don't have peace in your life is because God doesn't speak peace to you. God convicts you of your sin. God draws you to salvation, but that's as far as it goes for a sinner. That's it. Listen, Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." I mean, where is your mind? That's the battleground for your peace with God in your life. That's where the battleground is. If you're carnally minded, you're not going to have peace. If you're spiritually minded, you are going to have peace. Listen, folks, don't come to church once a month and stay out in the world all that time and party and then come back to church and go, "Bro Jeff, I don't have peace." The reason you don't have peace is because you're not serious with the Lord. Amen. That's why. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." I mean, many churches have no peace, and the reason they don't is because they don't have one mind. And listen, folks, the Holy Spirit needs to be in charge of every church from the pastor down. And if the Holy Spirit is in charge, if he's in charge of the church, you're going to be of one mind. And the church is going to have peace. The reason the church doesn't have peace is because our minds start wanting to get what we want. Well, I don't like what the church did. I don't like where the money's going. I don't like the decision the pastor made. Well, have you prayed about it? Yeah. Right? I don't think we need to pave that parking lot. Well, have you prayed about it, or is that just your worldly, mindly opinion? Right? Yeah. We need to pray about those things. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. All right. Y'all wake up on me here. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I mean, listen, we probably live in the most selfish generation ever. We do. And the reason many people don't have peace is simply because they're not thankful. Listen, folks, we need to be thankful for the things God gives us. We're almost done. Listen, fourthly, the Holy Spirit produces long-suffering. I mean, long-suffering means slow to wrath. And what that means is grace from someone that has the power to take vengeance. That means you have the power, it's within your grasp to get back at somebody. It's in your grasp to get back at them, you have the power to do it. But long-suffering means grace keeps you from getting back. And you say, I'm not going to do it. I mean, we got fast food, high-speed internet, texting. I mean, we're part of the generation that says, I got to have it now, right? Yeah. And so we're not long-suffering. We want to do it now. Hey, bam, knock it out. We're done, right? And it takes away from our compassion as Christians. Ephesians 4:2 says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another with love. You know what that verse says? That says that one church member that irks you and gets under your skin, you can get along with the help of the Holy Spirit. Right? And everyone was looking at me like, no, not me, Bert Jeff. Yes, there is. There's somebody that just hit every one of your minds as you're going like, I know. Boy, they get on my nerves, Brother Jeff. Listen, folks, we're a family, right? Not everybody's going to have the same personality. We're going to have different personalities. We're going to have different, and there's going to be people in this church that rub you the wrong way. But don't get mad and say, I'm not coming to church. I don't like so-and-so. Just sit on this side and put them on that side. Amen? But listen, what does long-suffering do? Long-suffering allows you to be able to get along with those people. Amen? It allows you. 1 Timothy 1:16 says, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to a life everlasting. Listen, we should exhibit with others the same long-suffering that God exhibit with us. You understand that? Listen, folks, that person that gets under your skin, that maybe they're lost, maybe they're saved, whatever, maybe it's a lost co-worker, whatever. Listen, how much did you get under God's skin when you were lost? Right? We need to think about how we were before we got saved, and did we ever rub anybody the wrong way? You know, I think many times of when I rubbed people the wrong way when I was lost, Brother Lenny. And I'm glad people didn't give up on me. They didn't say, he needs to just go on to hell. We don't need deal with him. Brother Jeff just ain't worth talking to, right? He's going to do his thing. We need to have that same attitude of long-suffering toward others. Amen. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When you see that lost person at work, think God wants them to be saved. When that person does you wrong, and you know that you should take vengeance on them, you say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You turn it over to the Lord and you say, God wants them to be saved. Amen. Brother David, you can get a song ready and I'll conclude with this. The Holy Spirit produces gentleness. Gentleness. And gentleness means being generous or kind. 1 Thessalonians 2:7 says, for we are gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Well, listen, I believe in strong doctrinal preaching. I believe in telling the truth, so don't get what I'm about to say wrong, all right? But I want to tell you something. We need more compassion in our preaching. Amen. I hear it all the time. I see it. People bashing from the pulpit, just beating, just beating people to a pulp. And they show no love and no compassion. And that same attitude carries out of the pulpit and out into the community. No compassion on sinners. No compassion on the lost. Listen, folks, we don't need to get in that state. We don't need to get in the state where we're so far above sinners and think we're so much better than them that we condescend them and run them in the ground all the time. We preach truth, but we're going to preach truth and love. Amen? Truth and love. Now listen, there's four ways to display God's gentleness. And we'll end with this, okay? One is sensitivity. You see and experience life from the emotions and feelings of others. In other words, walk a mile in their shoes. Listen, you can have gentleness with somebody when you can realize what they're going through. Right? You know, I heard somebody say one time, well, they never help with anything. This is a long time ago. It wasn't at this church. But they never help with anything. They just don't help with nothing around here. Don't lift nothing. Well, the person had a bad back. Oh, that's just an excuse. Everybody uses a bad back. You don't know what it's like until you've got a bad back.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
And when you got a bad back, you understand why people don't run to lift heavy objects. Right? You got to be sensitive. Then you got to have sympathy. You got to feel what others feel. Acknowledge those feelings. We've had several in the church that have lost loved ones, and I've said this to them many times. I've said, you grieve the way you want to. Don't let anybody tell you how to grieve. Because here's the deal. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. You got to have sympathy for those people and understand that they're not going to grieve just like you think they should. Right? They're not going to. I find it funny watching, many times I watch these detective shows on TV that where they have the, you know, they go back and they talk to the people and try to figure out, and they leave you on the hook to the very end of who did it. But, you know, they're sitting here and they're saying, hey, we believe they murdered them and here's why. And they always go to the husband. Sometimes it is the husband, so don't get me wrong. But like if a wife's died, they go to the husband. If the husband's died, they go to the wife. And they really pound them first to make, you know, rule them out as a suspect. But it kills me when they go, well, we think he's a suspect because we don't think he grieved the way he should. Or she didn't grieve the way she should. There's not a formula for grieving, folks. There's not. And we need to keep that in mind. Listen, we need to have straightforwardness. That means speak truth in love. Yes, you don't back up on the truth. Listen, folks, you say, Brother Jeff, is homosexuality wrong? Yes. And we don't back up on that. But if a homosexual comes in this church, we're going to love them. We're going to care for them. We're going to tell them about Jesus. Tell them they need to be saved. Tell them they need born again. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to tell them the truth, that that's not the way God has for them. But we're also going to treat them with love and respect. Amen?
Amen.
We don't want them to go to hell. Amen?
Amen.
Spontaneity. That means look for some way to serve or give care. When you see somebody hurting around you and in the church, you can show gentleness by doing that, being spontaneous, helping them, do things to help them, little things, just a visit, a phone call, a card in the mail, little things like that mean the world to people. Just think of things you can do. Somebody's sick. Hey, we're going to carry you some food. And our church does a good job of that. And I'm very proud of our church for doing that. But just think of ways that you as an individual can go help somebody else. And you don't have to have the pastor's approval to do that, to be gentle. You don't have to say, Bert Jeff, hey, I thought I might go. No, go do it. Amen. Do it for the Lord. We'll finish up the rest of the fruit.